Welcome to this new episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast by RFI English. I'm Melissa Shemam. Twice a month, I'll look at one major issue on the continent, one country or one idea at a time. This week, we focus on the presidential election in Algeria, scheduled for September the 7th. The campaign ended a few days before, and incumbent Abdelmadjid Tebboune is widely expected to win again. Only two challengers have been allowed to run, Abdelali Hassani of the moderate Islamist Party, the Movement of Society for Peace, and Youssef Aouchiche of the Centre-Left Socialist Forces Front, FFS. But for Algerians, the outcome seems known. RFI French and Arabic-speaking correspondent in Algiers, Faisal Messaoui, spoke to a couple of voters. Listen to what they had to say. First, Faisal spoke to Dahman, who is convinced that people still must go and vote because it is a duty. He says people must mobilize and vote. They should vote for their favorite candidate. Some continue to complain about the state or about the president, but in return, what do they have to offer to their country? Do your duty and go to the poll, he says. Choose their candidate whose program meets your aspiration. There are still shortcomings, it's true, but in 3 years, Algeria has achieved more than in 60 years. Faisal also spoke to Karim, who is boycotting the vote. He believed that there is nothing to expect from this presidential election. It's just theater, he says. It's an authoritarian regime which does not respect the rules of democratic game. Every Algerian knows the result of the election in advance, and there will be, therefore, no surprises. For the Algerians, this election is not an important event for the future of the country. The opposition has also complained of intimidation, with dozens of people arrested last month over alleged election fraud. Opposition leader Fethi Gares was even detained the last week of campaigning. Algerian authorities continue to maintain a harsh crackdown on human rights, including the rights of freedom of expression, peaceful assembly and association, ahead of this poll. This is what Amnesty International has said in a report early in September. To understand how opponents, political parties and civil society navigate this civic space, we have with us Nadege Lahmar. She's a consultant on Algeria for Amnesty.
We have new research that came out, and our main conclusion is that, of course, there's a continued closure of civic space in Algeria due to severe restrictions on the exercise of fundamental freedom like freedom of expression, freedom of press, freedom of peaceful assembly and association. So in other words, in Algeria currently, we find that the space for free speech, the space to freely and peacefully organize, assemble, exchange ideas, debate, etc., is severely constrained. So this is a very bleak reality that has been established gradually through a series of escalations and the level of repression since 2019, and especially since 2021, when the Hirak protest movement attempted a resurgence. We can see that this repressive trajectory taken by the Algerian authorities has led to a steady erosion of human rights. Several figures of the Hirak protest movement have been subjected to continuous judicial harassment. Some of them, if you can imagine, have been in and out of prison since 2019. And then the authorities kind of widened the repression progressively to target journalists, political opposition, human rights defenders, whistleblowers, civil society organizations. So currently, we can say that as a result, the human rights context in the broader civic space is marked by fears and censorship in general, suspicion and really paralysis. So we do continue to see people trying to speak out, notably on social media, even about socioeconomic condition, not necessarily even about things related to the political system, but they are often rapidly shut down either by arrest, the prosecution, or their legal action. And especially at the moment, there's really a multiplication of the use of terrorism accusations to criminalize peaceful dissent. So it has become quite widespread. And this is the reason, for example, why one of the figure of the Hirak, Mohamed Tajadid, is currently in prison since January 2024. So this is kind of like the broad context. Regarding the political opposition specifically, yes, political opposition has been directly targeted by this repression. In the last couple of years, to also go back to the recent context, authorities have managed to suspend two political parties. And there's still kind of an ongoing legal action against a third one that would threaten it with dissolution. However, in the last couple of months, if you look at the research we published, in practice, these restrictions have taken more the form of parties being refused authorization for like meetings, assemblies, events, etc. And also political activists, political party leaders being arrested and prosecuted. So, for example, a couple weeks ago, around 60 political activists were arrested on 20 August when they tried to participate into an official celebration. Most of them were from a party called RCD, Gathering for Culture and Democracy. We also see in August, political activist Yassine Kiresh, member of another opposition party, the MDS. He was arrested on 6 August in relation to Facebook publication, and he's still in pretrial detention. A week from now, the former leader of the MDS party, which was suspended, was arrested, and him and his wife are now under judicial control. And under the terms of the judicial control, they are not allowed to publish on social media or speak to the press, which is very concretely like a very abusive restriction on the exercise of their free speech. Earlier on 19 August, another political opposition leader, Karim Tabou, head of another unauthorized party, he was also subjected to a similar judicial control under the same terms. So this gives you an idea that authorities are very much continuing their attempts to silence the political opposition.
Yes, of course. And as journalists, we've been trying to talk to some of them and the candidates that are running, and it's been really difficult. Could feel that it was shying away from this, and it was really difficult to get press accreditation. But I just want to maybe focus a little bit more on social media, because it seems a little bit worrying. So campaigners have been sometimes harassed for what they were posted. Do you think it also affects the regular citizens? Like, they feel that they can't really express their views on this election or even other political issues?
I think we can say for sure that the legal context in Algeria and the practice of the security and judicial authorities has created a context where it is very difficult to have a free and open discourse on matters of public interest and political interest. So we see that the legal framework is very restrictive, but also security and judicial authorities, they continue to arrest and prosecute people who speak out on social media, who express dissenting opinions, more and more, as I said, using fabricated terrorism prosecution. So this is very serious and can lead to lengthy imprisonment. We also see that people who express any wish or anything related to political change also are criminalized. So yeah, people are trying to speak out and they can attempt to, but they are rapidly shut down. So that's why we also said in our research that currently the context in Algeria is characterized by this context of fear and censorship and this paralysis and suspicion and this fear of any kind of reprisal that might be taken against anyone speaking out.
So for the press, for journalists on the ground, you can also say that the context has been more difficult in the past 5 years and in the last few months.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the space for media, for independent media, is severely constrained in Algeria for both Algerian journalists and foreign journalists. Although, of course, Algerian journalists are more at risk of arrest and prosecution. So, as I said, there's a combination of a very repressive legal framework and then added to this, the actions taken by security and judicial authorities, which prevent any free and open discourse in the media. So overall, we see that Algerian authorities remain very intolerant towards dissenting opinion, and that includes independent journalism. Last year, they adopted a series of three legislation that basically reshaped the legal framework for media activity. Unfortunately, it didn't do it in the sense that it created more space, but it actually stifled media, created legislation that stifled media activity, that prevents media plurality and promotes censorship even more, with the three laws basically containing multiple overly vague and unjustified requirements for journalists, which are incompatible with international human rights standards on freedom of the press. For example, like a very restrictive definition on what is a journalist, or on access to web hosting or access to foreign funding. The laws also give overbroad powers to the Algerian Ministry of Communication for diffusion and licensing of media. So those laws are very problematic. And then also this year in April, authorities also amended the penal code. The penal code in Nigeria was already, there were already multiple provisions in there that were very problematic that have been used since 2019 and before, of course, to criminalize free speech. But authorities basically introduced other provisions that are also very problematic for the exercise of free speech. And they also expanded the scope or the penalty for the provision that already existed. For example, you have, they expanded the penalty for a provision punishing the what they call the demoralization of the army, or harming national interest, or inciting to an unarmed gathering, which is basically inciting to a protest, which should absolutely not be sanctioned. They introduced, for example, prison sentences and other penalties for contempt and insult against the symbols of the National Liberation Revolution, which is absolutely unclear. The law defines what these symbols are. There's also a provision about harming the image of the security services. So the authorities are very much showing their intent to close down even more in the civic space and shrink the space for freedom of expression even more. They are absolutely not backing down in their oppression.
It sounds really sad because there was a little bit of progress before and up to the Hirak movement. Would you say that some of the journalists maybe are tempted to go and work from abroad as it happened in the past? Or is the role of the diaspora maybe compensating for this lack of freedom of speech?
It's not easy due to restriction on freedom of movement, of course, but the criminalization of free speech in Algeria, because of that, it's much easier to mobilize and speak freely in the diaspora. So in that sense, the role of the diaspora, whether journalists or activists or others, or just everyday citizens, is valuable to advocate for freedom of expression, to continue to express free opinions. And we saw, of course, since 2021, especially a number of Algerian activists and human rights defenders have had to exile themselves to escape the repression at great personal cost. That is unfortunate. The repression has also extended to Algerians living abroad. At least the Algerian authorities are trying to extend this repression abroad. So, for example, through international arrest warrants, through the sentencing of Algerians abroad in absentia, or through arbitrary arrest and prosecution of Algerian activists who come back to Algeria on vacation or for a visit. Algerian refugees and asylum seekers especially are not all safe. For example, in the past couple of years, we've seen in 2021, a UN-recognized refugee was kidnapped in Tunis, and he reappeared under custody of Algerian authorities, and he's been there for 3 years now in prison. In March 2022, also, we see that Algerian whistleblower Mohamed Ben Halima was forcibly returned from Spain to Algeria, and he's been in prison ever since, and he's been subjected to torture and other ill-treatment. We have also seen the use of abusive travel bans to prevent Algerians from leaving the country. That has become also widespread. For example, journalist Mustafa Benjema, a couple months ago, he tried to go to Tunisia and he was stopped at the border. And he was told that he was under a travel ban, although there was no judicial decision or no formal decision to ban him from traveling. We also see in the other way around, in April 2024, Algerian journalist Farid Alilat, who actually lives in Paris, although he only has Algerian nationality, he was prevented from entering Algeria from Paris because of his journalistic work. So we see Algeria trying to kind of extend also the repression and target this diaspora in different ways.
Experts say the only real unknown is how many voters will turn out. So participation is the only element at stake. That's what Hasni Abidi, an expert based in Geneva, who's from Algeria, told me. It seems like abstention is the first party in Algeria, he says. Listen.
It's not a surprise, en fait, honnêtement, because I l'ai dit aujourd'hui, c'est très difficile de faire de la politique.
There's no surprise because it's very difficult to do politics in Algeria, as it told me. It's difficult to exist as an opponent, and the power has a certain level of comfort. It's in a comfort zone. They see the West being occupied elsewhere by the crisis in Ukraine, notably. But he says we also see some changes in Algeria. The political system is no longer relying only on this duality between the army and the power, the army and the civilians. So it could be a source of progress. The president, Abdelmajid Tebboune, has the support of this administration, Hasni Abidi told us. He has eased relations with Algeria's powerful military, but the opposition and civil society want to re-engage with politics. The problem is that since the protest movement started in 2019, named the Hirak, it's been very difficult. To understand how Algeria has changed since the last election in December 2019, here again is Nadège Lahmar, consultant on Algeria for Amnesty International.
We've seen an escalation in the repression post-2019, so I think we can confidently say that the repression was initially a reaction to the Hirak in a way to stifle the Hirak and prevent it from continuing, preventing from restarting after the COVID, the pandemic, because if you remember, the Hirak also was severely weakened by the pandemic, which prevented it from continuing the protest in 2020. 2019 was the year when really the repression really started, and then 2020 is when we saw really the first big escalation with amendments to the penal codes that specifically targeted fake news and receipt of foreign funding. And we saw really a big escalation in the arrest and prosecution of people who expressed themselves, like ordinary citizens who expressed themselves on social media, because the Hirak, because of the COVID, tried to kind of move to the social media space and digital spaces. And they found arbitrary arrest and prosecution there. And then in 2021, when things started to open up and the Hirak tried to start again protest, we can understand that the authorities, through another spike in repression, tried to prevent it from resurrecting, tried to prevent people from going back to the streets and rebuilding the huge movement that we saw in 2019. And they did this through another escalation, as I mentioned, through the use of terrorism prosecution. So in 2021, that's when they amended the penal code to widen the definition of terrorism. So now demanding radical political change, which is what the Hirak wanted to do, can now be prosecuted under terrorism in Algeria. So anyone who uses the Hirak slogans, who re-expresses again the Hirak demands, is liable for criminal prosecution for terrorism. And overall, the authorities have maintained that distinction between the good Hirak kind of and the bad Hirak, the Hirak that they accepted, that they integrated in 2019, and then the bad Hirak that wants to come back and that is manipulated by foreign parties. And the authorities, through their various public communication, have expressed that, you know, there's no need for Hirak. They have integrated it into the various legal changes, the electoral processes, the new constitution in 2020. It's also a way for them to, you know, push back and silence Hirak movements and on any other protest by saying, you know, we're done with this and we can move on. And in parallel, as I said, they've been escalating the repression to install this really widespread fear in society and in civil society, especially. Unfortunately, it's not the legacy of the Hirak, but it's the legacy of post-Hirak situation, unfortunately.
Okay, of course. Thank you very, very much for sharing your insight. Nadège, thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks again to Nadège Lahmar for being with us in this episode. She's the consultant on Algeria for Amnesty International. And thank you to Hasni Abidi for his insight and to Faisal Metawi, RFI's correspondent in Algiers. This was the latest episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast produced by RFI English. It was mixed by our sound engineer, Nicolas Doro. Thanks, Nicolas. And thank you for listening. We will be back soon to comment on African affairs. And in the meantime, for more African and French news, go to our website, rfi.fr/en.